the Lord of those who meet one. Father, we give our nation to you today. We pray, Father God, for those who rule over us, that God, they would make righteous decisions. And Lord, you would speak to them and they would listen to you. Father, that they would serve you. We ask, O God, today for our missionaries and those that serve you in foreign fields and here in this country. We pray, God, for Pastor Jerry and Bonnie as they minister this summer. We pray, God, wherever they are this week, that God, you will bless them and grant them the strength. As one who has just spent a week in camp with kids, Lord, I say, Lord, I pray for them. Now I understand a little more of their journey. So, Father, we pray in the name. And all those that serve you, Father, we pray and believe you, God, to touch their lives. And this we ask in the name of the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Last week I shared from my heart a little bit on what God had just been stirring in my life, and basically stepped up my involvement in faith and just asking God to lead me and direct me, and it was a little bit different, and I really had no plans to preach today. Pastor Prince kind of said, you know what, let's stay in what God is doing, and I just asked me to preach again this morning. So I'm here, and I think that God is wanting to continue in what I was sharing last week. So I think there's things that need to be spoken, things that I believe that God was stirring in my heart previous that I didn't actually get to share, so I'm just going to continue on and share again a little bit from what God has been saying to me, stirring in my heart, and even over this last week, asking God, where do we go from last week's message? And for those of you that were here last Sunday, I'll just give a little bit of a kind of recap as to what God was saying to me. So we're gonna get into the Word together. I'm gonna pray and just ask that God would lead us this morning. He would direct us, direct His servants. Father, I thank you so much for your Word. Thank you for your presence that is here with us now. Jesus, you're in this place. And your Spirit, God, is here. So, Father, we just want to thank you for your ever-present life that's just always with us, God. It is such a blessing. And Jesus, I believe that you have something that you want to share with your people. There's something that you want to stir in our hearts, Lord, that you want to continue to just to move in us and speak to us. So, Lord, would you use this fragile clay pot once again? Jesus, that your truth would just be magnified this morning. That your message would just pierce our hearts and ignite the flame that you put inside of us. So Jesus, we just celebrate you this morning. We ask that you would have your way, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So last week I shared how I was kind of, it was a little bit of a testimony / message, and it was really about how I was just becoming just tired of just being a good Christian. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with being a good Christian. The world needs more good Christians. But I think that God is calling us to more than just being a good Christian, that He's calling us to be really a disrupting force for the kingdom of heaven. That in Hebrews 12:29 it says that our God is a consuming fire. That He's a consuming fire. And if we believe that the scriptures are true, and that when we accepted Christ into our life, that His Spirit comes to live within us, then we hold within us a consuming fire. That the presence of God is within us. He is a consuming fire. So for me, I believe that God is calling us to more than just kind of going through our lives and just, you know, doing what's easy and comfortable. And I also shared how it's hard for us in North America to really take seriously some of what the scriptures teach us, because Jesus himself said that it's difficult for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And our culture and our Canadian way is a very rich way. We may not think that we're rich when compared to maybe some super athletes or celebrities, but we are actually quite rich in comparison to the world. Most of the world would look at us Canadians and they would say, "Wow, you are really rich." And it's difficult for us at times because there's so much that's pulling us. There's so much that's wanting our attention. I mean, everywhere that you turn, there are messages. There's just billboards and news and on radio and TV and on your phone, and just so many avenues that are trying to pull your attention, saying, "Look at this, look, come here, like, enjoy this pleasure, and you know, go after this," and you know, it's just, there's so much that's just trying to pull us. And honestly, you can just try just be going about your life, doing the right thing, trying to be a good Christian, and before you know it, you're so busy and distracted with all that the world can offer you that you've had just little time to focus on serving God, and not maybe even asking the Lord, "What is it that you want from my life? How can I serve you better? How can I be obedient to your word?" Like, we're not really asking those questions at times because we're so busy. We've got, you know, our ambitions and our dreams, and we want to, you know, retire at 55, and we want to, you know, have all these things that we can accumulate. And I shared how in James 4, verses 8, really the brother of Jesus, James, speaks to this church who was really in a similar situation, and they were looking at the rich and wanting what the rich had, and really, really their energy and time was consumed with looking at and wanting the things that the rich had. And James speaks to them, it's a really heavy letter against the rich. It's not because there's nothing wrong with being wealthy or rich. I mean, God needs some wealthy, rich people, right? That's a huge blessing. But it's when your energy and your time and all that you have is really being consumed in wanting the pleasures that the world can bring you, that's when it becomes an issue. And James comes against that attitude. And he says that to draw near to God and he will draw near to you. I mean, we know that passage. You know that passage. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. But then it's a condition. There's a condition to it. The second half of that verse. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. You want to draw near to God and you want him to draw near to you? Guess what? You got to cleanse your life of this double-mindedness. You know, "Oh God, I want you close to me and I want you near to me, but I also want all these nice things and pleasures that the world can bring, and I want all this stuff too. So I want God and I want all these things. So let's just, can I have both, God?" And God's saying you can't have both. You can't serve God and money. You're divided. Your loyalty is divided. And friends, we live in a country that just draws for your loyalty. They want your time. They want your energy. They want your money. And they will do whatever it takes to get it. And before you can even recognize it, your energy and time are consumed in things that are not of God. They might not be bad things necessarily, but they're not God things. They're your own desires, they're your own ambitions. And James is saying, listen, if you want God to draw near to you, put both feet into God's hand. Just go all for him. Put your focus on God. Abandon those earthly pursuits and go after him. Put your full devotion, put your full surrender into who God is, and just watch him blow up your life. Because, friends, here's the reality. When you draw near to God, he draws near to you. That is his word. That is his promise. When you draw near to God, when when you say, God, I want you, all that you are, I'm going to just push aside all these things that are just distracting me and piling up in my life that are really giving me no time and energy to put into you. I'm going to put those away, do the best that I can, and I'm just going to go after you for all that you are. I surrender. I say yes to all that you have for me. When we do that, he draws near to us. And he is a consuming fire. So when you draw near to the fire, guess what happens? You get burned. You get hot. The closer you are to the fire, the more hot you become, and the more heat you emit. But reality is this. This is a very real thing that I believe really pushes people away from getting into this one, from becoming a storming fire for the Lord. And it's because of the fact that when we get near to the fire, there is a reality that he will burn through our lives. Because when we draw near to him, he will disrupt your life. Friends, I believe a lot of Christians are unwilling to let God disrupt their lives. They're okay. They're happy with where they're at. I like my life. I like the things that I have. Why do you need to disrupt my life? Well, friends, if you want to be a disrupting force in the lives of others, if you want to make a difference in the lives of others, if you want to walk into your workplace and the coworkers that are around you just seeing something on you, coming to you, asking you, there's something about you, there's a presence on you, I don't know what it is, but I need it, you got it, you've got a joy that I don't understand, you've got a peace that I don't understand, I know I've heard things about your situation, everything's not going away with you, why are you still so full of joy? There's something about you. If you want to be a disruptive force for the kingdom of heaven, you got to draw near to the Lord. You got to let him disrupt your life first. And honestly, I don't know. If we were to ask, okay, let me just give you a little bit of a scenario. Option A and option B. We've got about 5 months left in 2016. God was to come to you and say, hey, Daniel, option A is this. I'll give you these next 5 months as some of the smoothest, easiest, just best months you'll ever have. Everything's going to go your way. Everything's going to be great. Everything's just going to be smooth. All things are just going to fall in your favor. That sounds like a good option. Option B, the next 5 months, you're going to face trials and difficulty like you've never experienced before. You're going to step into things that you have never faced. Challenges. Real, difficult challenges. Option B. Option A, you'll be at the same level spiritually as you are right now. You won't be any nearer to me. You won't be any closer. You'll just be where you're at. Just kind of a good Christian. Option B, difficulty, hardship, trial, messiness. You will be closer to me than you've ever been before. You will have seen the miraculous unleashed in your life like you've never seen before. What option do you want to choose? Many, unfortunately, continue to live in option A. The church, as a reality, the church, if you look at the church, it's living in option A, and we're suffering because of it. Option B, on the other hand, that says, I want to step into the messiness of other people's lives. I want to step into the pain of other situations. I want God to just take me into the deep places. I'm okay with whatever he has for me. Option B is drawing near to the Lord. Option A is keeping God at a distance. Full surrender and full devotion are the beginning of a life of power. A life that is on fire for the Lord. A life that is a disrupting force. A disrupting force for the kingdom of heaven. This is the reality. Are we willing to step into this? Are we willing to embrace this? Are we willing to accept this? Are we going to continue on? Are we going to Are we willing to say that to God and really from our hearts say, disrupt my life because I'm tired of seeing so much brokenness and pain around me and just nothing is intercepting that. Their just lives are just continuing into a place of destruction and bondage. And I read stories. I go on the internet, I read these stories of these situations that are so grim and so broken. And it's just like, where is God in this? God is in you. He has called us to be the agents of healing and hope for these broken people, these lives that are spiraling out of control and that have no hope whatsoever. They're on the verge of suicide. They're on the verge of just terror and abuse. And we are the agents that God has called to step in and bring healing and hope. And if we don't step up, and if we don't do anything, then they're going to continue on in the path that they're on. And it'll continue to break into a cycle, and churches will get emptier and emptier. And people will grow up having no understanding of God and recognizing and realizing, what is the point of that? I could have enough friends. Who cares? We need to be a disrupting force. We need it because the world needs it. But there's something else, too, that's so significant, that when we draw near to God, and like, this needs to be spoken. The world needs us to be a disrupting force, but you need God to disrupt your life. You need to draw near to the Lord. Why? Because I don't know about you, but I'm tired of defeat in my own life. Are you just tired of just defeat in your own experience, your own, maybe your thought life, maybe you've got bad habits, maybe you've got sinful addictions, things that you're struggling to overcome, and you're just, it's the cycle of failure, the cycle of, I sinned again, God, forgive me, please help me, I want to overcome, and it's just the cycle, and you just get beat down after a while, then you can lose faith. I've seen people, I know people in my family that have abandoned their faith in God because they can't seem to overcome their sinful habits and addictions to the point where I prayed how many times that God would set me free from this? I prayed how many times and I'm still in this? Why? God must not be real. Because if I prayed so many times that God would set me free from this addiction and I can't overcome it, maybe God doesn't exist. Maybe he's not real, and they walk away from their faith. I've seen this over and over again in young people's lives. Guys that are my age, young men, that are struggling to overcome sexual addiction and pornography and lust, and they're bound to it. They're bound to it, and they can't find freedom. And you know what happens? They get so discouraged and beat down that they walk away from their faith. Because how can God be real? Friends, here's the reality, here's the truth, that when you get close to the fire, when you draw near to the fire, something happens in you. You start to get the faith of God. You start to see the way that God sees. You start to see the way that God sees. And guess what happens? God sees victory for you. God has victory for us. He is an overcomer. And when we draw near to the one who has overcome, then that flame burns us up in us and that your faith rises to believe for the miraculous, to believe for victory over sin. And the further you get from the Lord, the further the distance is, the harder it is for you to believe that there could be victory for today. But the nearer you draw to the Lord, the closer you get to his presence, the more this fire burns in you, the more that you start to believe, the more that your heart starts to fill with faith for things that you never thought were possible. You can believe them in one encounter. I don't know if you've experienced this, but when you taste the Lord's presence and he just touches you, something happens in your heart. Maybe you've experienced this. I believe that some of you have. But when you've tasted the presence of God, he encounters you with his glory. Your faith just, it rises up, and you can start to believe and pray for things. You know, I've shared this church before, but God touched me here in a powerful way, in a tremendous way. I was slain in the Spirit of God in the middle of this church. And I'm telling you, I had lost a lot of faith in God because of things that had happened in my family. faith for the miraculous. It took a huge hit. My faith was at an all-time low because of things that were happening. Things that I've seen, people praying for situations and nothing happening. My faith was just so low. And God in the moment touched me. I experienced His presence, and my faith went from here to here, real fast. And I was like, God, You can do the impossible. And I remember praying here, praying for my brothers and sisters. They would feel me. They would be sick. Things that I stopped praying for. But God, in a moment, touched me. In His presence, He encountered me, and my faith rose. And friends, if we want to have faith for the miraculous, we want to have faith to see people healed and saved and delivered. You want to have faith for that, you got to draw near to the fire. Because your faith isn't good enough. It never will be good enough. But His faith is perfect. And when you draw near to the One whose faith is perfect, it does something to your heart. You start to catch it. Your faith starts to rise. So do you see the connection that when you want to be a disruptive force for the kingdom, you got to draw near to the fire, because in the fire, there is faith for you to believe for the miraculous, to believe for things that you could never believe for before. But now you can, because you've been near to the fire. You've been near to the fire. And He's asking us this morning, will we draw near? Will we say yes to Him? Will we surrender completely? Will we lay aside those things that have built up barriers in our lives? And I don't know what they are for you. But if you're not tasting this, if you're not walking in this, they are there. There are invisible barriers in every single one of your lives. Every one of you has barriers. Things that you need to repent of. Because every day there are things that come into our hearts and our lives and they crowd us. And this is what repentance is about. It's about saying, God, take away the stuff that's stopping the flow of Your life into mine, Your presence into mine. Take away the things that are distracting me from Your purposes and Your plans. But there's another element to this. This desire for us to be a disrupting force for the kingdom of heaven. That we would intercept the lives of those who would take their hands and use them for abuse. That we would intercept their lives with the presence of God in us, and they would take their hands from abuse into life, into hope, into mercy. What is it? How do we walk this out? How do we really live this day to day? Well, yeah, it's by pursuing the Lord. It's by surrendering. It's saying yes to all that He has. Being willing to let God disrupt your life and saying yes to it, whatever it means. But there's another element. The word is this, it's community. It's community. Friends, the Christian life, the Christian experience, is not meant to be solo. A person, Proverbs 18:1, a man isolated, is just in great harm. They are selfish. They rage against wisdom. An isolated person, a person who thinks that me and Jesus, I only need Jesus, it's just Him and I to the end, and that's all that matters. And I don't want to bother with these other Christians and their issues and their errors of doctrine and all these things, and they're just Christ and I to the end. That person most often ends up in error, or they flame out and they walk away from the Lord. Because here's the reality, that when you have a fire, that's just got a bunch of branches in it. When you take one of those branches and you separate it from the fire, and it's on its own, what happens to it? It's cold. Dies out. But what happens when you add branches to the fire? I see a lot of branches here this morning. When you add branches to the fire, one after another,
add more wood to the fire, add more wood to the fire, make it hot. And it was so burning and raging hot that people were dying as they just neared to it. Imagine what the church would look like if we were just on fire together, encouraging one another, stirring one another up, challenging one another, praying for one another. Have you been praying for this week? Have you prayed for someone this week? Are we living in community? Let me read for you a passage from Scripture that speaks to this. Any of you know this passage? Ephesians 4:11-16. I'll just read for you this. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets, some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. A man by himself often ends up. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. Friends, here's a powerful verse 16. From whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by every joint, supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building of itself up in love. We all have a part to play in building one another up so that love would grow. If we're not investing in one another's lives, if we're not investing in community, if we're not pouring into one another, we're going to get cold. Because, friends, discouragement can happen very easily. If you're just hot for the Lord and you're going after God, and there's nobody else that's just on page with you and united with you in this, it's so easy to become discouraged and just become weary and just say, what's the point? Nobody else is on fire, Lord. What's going on? I'm just tired. I'm weary. But guess what happens? If you're on fire and you're just hungry for the Lord to move, and then somebody else in the church, they come to you and they're saying, hey, let's pray together. I want that fire to grow. Let's come together. Let's pray together. Let's believe for our church. Let's believe that God can start a fire in us that will ignite the hearts of others. One other person can just do something to you and encourage you and lift you up. And if you don't have that, there can be such great discouragement. But imagine a church filled with people stirring one another on into the gifts, encouraging one another, pushing one another. And friends, if we would be so bold that these are your brothers and sisters, these are the people that we should be pouring into, encouraging, pushing forward into the kingdom, saying, hey, I see this issue, I've noticed this attitude in you. Can we talk about this? Can we pray together? Hey, I know what's going on in your situation, your home. Maybe, can we pray? Can I get together with you? Maybe I can take your kids for a little while so that you can have some time alone with the Lord. Are we looking in community? Are we investing in community? Because community is the way that God has designed us. We were created in the image of a triune God. God exists as three in one. For all time, God has existed in this incredible community of Father, Spirit. Father, Spirit, and Son. And God has existed in a triune God, three in one. He is community. We were created in his image. But if we reject community, we are rejecting the very way that we were created, the very design that we have is to exist in community. Most of the scriptures are written to communities, to believers, to churches, not to individuals. There are a few, epistles and things like that, but the reality is the weight of scripture is geared towards community, to be read in community. The armor of God. It's not supposed to be just about you and your armor that you're supposed to wear. It's about an armed army of soldiers that are putting on the armor. It's about community. If we rail against this, if we reject this, if we simply just come to church and just up and invest and say, God, how can I be used to pour into others? And who maybe can I get somebody to pour into me? And you know, honestly, a simple way to address this is to come to Pastor Bruce or I or Carol and be like, hey, Carol, Pastor Bruce, I really would like somebody just to, you know, be pouring into me. I really need, you know, somebody just to be praying for me and maybe a mentor in my life. You know, we could say, hey, I think I might know somebody that would be open to that, right? Or you could say to Pastor Bruce or Carol or I, like, hey, I feel like I've got, you know, something to give that I want to pour into somebody. I want to invest in somebody's life. Is there somebody in church that you think that I can maybe do that for or be that for? And I guess what? There, we can hook you up. We can hook you up. We can help you. We need mentors. We need discipleship to be a reality. Well, let's not just be something that we talk about on Sundays. Yeah, we're a discipleship church, and we're a church that believes in mentoring. No, we need to do it. We need to be it. If you're not investing and pouring into somebody else's life, you're not walking in discipleship. Come on now. Let's wake up. If you're not pouring and investing into somebody's life, you're not walking in discipleship. You're a Christian, yes, but you're not being a disciple. We need to be disciple makers. We need to be investing in other people's lives. And I know that you're busy. Let's get less busy so that we can do the business of God. Come on now, please. Can we walk in this? Because this is integral to us becoming a disrupting force, not just as an individual, but as a church. The Harmony Church, that when people would come into Harmony Church, they would experience a flame of fire that is burning bright, and it would singe in their hearts. And I got this image from the Lord. I felt like God just kind of imprinted this on me. And my cousin, her house was completely burned. Just, you know, actually there was only two rooms that were burned, but the smoke from the fire damaged the rest of the home to the point where it was just useless. It had to be torn down. The smoke from the fire left an imprint. And friends, when you burn bright for the Lord, people might come into this church, and they might be just like, oh, these people are crazy. I'm never coming back here. Those visiting today. But the reality is that the fire of the Lord, when there's smoke, that it leaves an imprint in their life, that Harmony Church would be the imprint. That even if they don't fetch the fire, they're like, whoa. There's smoke damage that's been done. And it would haunt them in their dreams, not haunt them. It would speak to them in their dreams that the Spirit of God would speak to them and remind them. Remember when you were at that church and you felt something that was supernatural, that was beyond the natural. You experienced something there, and it would lead them. And wherever they go, they would find themselves back in church. See, God, I need you. I don't know what's happened. That we would leave an imprint in the lives of those around us, that Harmony Church would catch fire, and it would be a destructive force for the kingdom of heaven. We need this. Please, church, would we allow the Lord to disrupt our lives? Would you say yes to God today, this morning? Would you say yes? And I'm just going to open, I'm going to close now, if somebody wants to hear me come. Say yes to the Lord. That's really what I'm asking. Would you ask the Lord to just say, God, I want this for my life. I want you to disrupt my life. I want to say yes to you. I want a full surrender. I want a full devotion. I don't want to be divided. I want to be wholeheartedly all for you, all for Christ. Would you say yes to the Lord and ask God to cleanse out those things that have built themselves up? Would you ask the Lord to just take away those things that are distracting you, pulling you away from the purposes of God? That we would repent and say yes to God. And if you know that this, that the world around you, it's so broken and desperate and hungry. This is the reality that we face. Brokenness, sin, spirals. control more and more, we would allow God to disrupt our lives. I promise you that God will be faithful to his word, and he will invade your heart and your life in a way that will make you become a strong force and go to the man, that you will be a fire that ignites hearts and saves lives all around. Church that is after this, that is hungry for this, that is saying yes to God, that is repenting of our sin, repenting of things that have built themselves up in our life, saying yes to the Lord. God, would you do it in us this morning? Would you stir our hearts? We don't want to just coast and just make it into heaven. We want to take as many people with us into glory. We want to take as many lost souls, broken souls. We want to see your healing power released in Jesus' name. In us, through us. Father, thank you.